I'm sure you're familiar with James chapter 4, where James wrote, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year and trade and make a profit." He said, "You don't even know, quite frankly, what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away." We all understand that, but I'm not always sure we understand how to put it really into play in life every day. So I want to share with you a quote from George MacDonald, and you may actually read this again in a couple of weeks in the local newspaper. He wrote, and I'm quoting, "No man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear." Never load yourself so. If you find yourself so loaded, at least remember this: it is your doing, not God's. He begged you to leave the future to Him and mind the present, unquote. And I think that's really good advice for us as we face each day. I hope we will heed it, and if we do, we will find it tremendously helpful. We don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. Today's a gift from God to be valued and to be used. And if tomorrow comes, then that's a gift from God to be valued and to be used. I think too many people try to live life in the future and miss out on the present. And I don't want us to ever do that. Now, the text that was read a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 6 is probably familiar to you. It's a passage about the Christian armament. There are many analogies in the Word of God that are designed to convey to us the essence of New Testament Christianity in ways that we can understand. It's not uncommon to read in Scripture where the Christian life is likened unto a race, and that's an analogy that most of us don't have any difficulty with at all. There are times when you may find other similar analogies, but one that's utilized frequently and for most people is rather striking and unusual is the idea of Christians being soldiers in the army of the Lord. We don't like to think of the church as being militant. We believe, and I'm speaking here in very general terms, not true of us tonight, I think, but of the world as a whole, that the major determination in life for those who claim to be people of God is just to get along. Don't make waves. Don't ruffle feathers. Say what people want to hear. And under no circumstances are you ever to be offensive. And there's no way to live life for Jesus and live it like that, because we're called to live life according to the gospel. And quite frankly, many people find the gospel upsetting. They find the word of God offensive and take offense at anyone who stands and presents it in public or private. But always remember, as Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, after warning against teaching error, even if an angel would present another gospel, that's to be rejected, because our goal is not to please men, but to please God. So when I think about the analogies in Scripture, words like disciple, saint, servant, child, all come to mind readily. But the idea of being a soldier in the army of the Lord is also one that is, as I said, utilized frequently and conveys a powerful message. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, Christians are challenged to fight the good fight of faith. And living for Jesus really is a battle. There's a war waging all around us. And if you've read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know it's not carnal warfare that we're talking about. It's a battle for the hearts and minds of men, and the opposition is Satan and all of those on his side. But we can win if we stay with the truth. The weapons of our warfare, Paul said, are not carnal, but they are mighty. Truth is more powerful than error, and those who stand for truth stand firm and sure on a foundation that will never, never give way. So let's determine to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Christians are challenged to be good soldiers in the army of the Lord. And the idea is that being a soldier in the army of the Lord is not easy. It comes with hardships. Some of you, I know, have had military experience, and I know as well that you could confidently testify to the fact that you were asked to do difficult things. Basic training, unlike today, was not a picnic in your day. You were challenged to really physically and mentally exert yourself. Today, so I'm told, the standards have been lowered, the bar has been dropped, and I heard not very long ago that in basic training now, if you don't want to do something, you just say, that's too hard, or I don't want to do it, and you're released. I can't imagine an army with training like that. In the army of the Lord, we are to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You've got to be tough to be in the Lord's service. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul used the analogy of a race, but he also used the analogy of a fight. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing or his coming. And then in Philippians 1:17, he simply said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. That's a military concept. And it talks about the role of Christians in this world, defending truth and opposing error, exalting righteousness and decrying sin, upholding Jesus and doing all we can to defeat the devil. And it's a fight that we must never forget. We can win, but there are certain things that are absolutely essential if we do. And in my judgment, and I believe that this is true, in many places, those who profess to follow Jesus have lost the desire to fight. Here's a quotation from a book by John Bright, the authority of the Old Testament, that I share with you just because it has relevance to the subject at hand, being soldiers of Christ. This is what Mr. Bright wrote, and I quote, "We are parade ground troops. Reluctant to dirty our uniforms, we're soldiers who refuse orders, sleep on duty, serve when convenient, and often enough, traitors to the cause. We do not like to think of the church as militant at all, but rather caught up in a stream of fraternal progress. We're men of tolerance and goodwill who find it hard to believe that God, the God of the Bible, though infinitely more loving, is not necessarily as tolerant as we are. Feeling no animus toward the enemies of God, we fraternize with them until we no longer recognize them as enemies and are ready to make almost any compromise with them in the interest of peace." I know that's not a biblical quotation, but I really believe that John Bright captured the essence of many who profess to follow Jesus today. They're soldiers of Christ, but unwilling to do the hard things, the difficult things, to endure hardness, to go again to the language of Paul to the young preacher Timothy. They're not really true Christians. Now to the text at night. All of that was introductory. What I want to share with you, 4 points. Two words in each point, words that should be easy to remember, are powerful, true to the book, and will help us each be genuine soldiers in the army of the Lord. So let's get with the program. First two words from our text in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, as we deal with the armament of the soldier of the Lord is this. We need to sign up. Sign up. In the Lord's army, there's no draft, no forced conscription, no vicarious service. Now let me stop for a moment and explain what I mean there. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln paid John C. Staples $300 to serve in his place in that war. If you're wondering, by the way, $300 in 1863 would be the equivalent of $5,000 today. It doesn't seem like a large sum to me to put your life on the line in behalf of somebody else, but it was standard fare. Wealthy people were able to avoid service by simply paying someone else to take their place. And there are a lot of people today that think they can do the same thing. Well, I don't really need to do anything in the service of my king. I write a check, I pay well, and therefore I'm good to go. Let somebody else do what God might expect me to do. After all, I'm paying for it. It doesn't work that way, folks. Do you know that no one can serve Jesus in your behalf? You serve him yourself, or he's not served at all by you. This is strictly an all-volunteer force. No wonder Joshua said, and it's really been true throughout Old Testament and New Testament history, that people who follow God, who march in the army of the Lord, always are volunteers because they choose whom they will serve. Joshua said to Israel, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You may choose to serve the gods in the land out of which we came, but listen to me, me and my house will serve the Lord. That should be our desire as people of God. Have you signed up to serve in the army of the Lord? And please note in the process that in this army and in this war that is raging, neutrality is impossible. You all are familiar with the story of Pilate. He examines the evidence against Jesus. The scriptures reveal three times, and three times concludes, I find no fault with this just person. But they demand his execution, and Pilate, more attuned to his place as governor than to the conviction of his heart, stands before the multitude and washes his hands and declared, I am free from the blood of this just person. What's he trying to do? To be neutral when neutrality was impossible. It was impossible then. It's impossible now. Jesus said, whosoever is not with me is against me. Have you signed up for service in the Lord's army? That simply requires faith, repentance, confession, immersion, and then faithful service as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, once you sign up, if you haven't, I hope you will tonight, but if you have, you sign up, and then the second thing is that you suit up. This is where the text really comes into play. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. A soldier stands out by the equipment he carries, the uniform he wears, how he is dressed for battle. And of course, we're talking again about spiritual warfare, not carnal warfare, but Paul very well may have been looking at a Roman soldier as he writes these words to the saints at Ephesus and making this comparison or analogy to how a Roman soldier dressed for battle and how a Christian ought to dress for battle. We're to put on the whole armor of God. Take everything God has at our disposal and utilize it, and utilize it forcefully and effectively. We take one weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with the assurance that with the sword in our hand, we can vanquish all enemies. There is nothing the devil throws our way that cannot be withstood and overcome if we hold the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, high. Never forget God's promise to His people. We're more than conquerors, Romans 8. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We always triumph in Christ Jesus. John said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But in order for this to be realized, we not only sign up and enlist in the Lord's service, but we suit up, put on the whole armor of God, and we wear this uniform. And you may have thought we were going to spend all of our time individually talking about the elements of this armor. You can do that on your own. I just want you to understand tonight how important it is that when you sign up, that you do suit up. You come to the battle ready to be a part of the fray. And in order to be successful, you have to put on the whole armor of God. And you will wear that uniform with pride. This is the idea, in my judgment, that Peter is conveying in 1 Peter chapter 4, when verses 13 through 16, he argues that we should not suffer as murderers or thieves or evildoers or busybodies. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf or in this name. Never be ashamed to own your Lord and Savior, to wear His uniform with pride, and enter into the fray with confidence of victory because you wield that sword that can overcome all obstacles. But remember, you have to conduct yourself appropriately. James 1, 19 through 27, which was the basis of a study very recently, maybe last week. Once I speak, I forget what I spoke about. Start focusing what's coming next. But I know it's been very recently. We talked about pure religion and the elements of it. And I reminded you that James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To live a distinctive life, conducting our affairs in a way that stands out because we're walking in the steps of Jesus, not taking the path the world has charted for us. So sign up. Hope you've done that. Suit up and stay suited for battle. The next two words, stand up. Stand up for the Lord. Good soldier of Jesus Christ will endure hardness. What does that mean? 2 Timothy 2:3. Be tough. The devil's going to do everything within his power to discourage us. And if he can, to defeat us. But he can't win unless we surrender. And if we're willing to tough it out, victory is absolutely assured. So soldiers have to be tough, folks. Again, some of you have that background. You know what is required of you. In the army of the Lord, you have to acknowledge that Jesus has high standards, and He expects us to do our best to rise to meet those standards. And that means we have to really be tough, hang in there, and accept the challenge. We also must obey orders. In any army, if orders are not obeyed, chaos is the result, and defeat is inevitable. It's no different in the army of the Lord. You cannot serve Jesus by giving Him orders. He's called in the Hebrews epistle, you may recall from our study of that letter, the captain of our salvation. The privates, that's all of us, and we take our orders from the captain. And we're expected to obey. And success is not going to come unless we obey orders. Do as we're instructed in the Word, Hebrews 2:10, coupled with Matthew chapter 28, 18. All power or authority, he said, is given to me in heaven and on earth. He's in charge, we're not. He gives the orders, we take them. That's what standing up as a soldier of Christ entails. It means that we are prepared to sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 very plainly says that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Serving God is a sacrificial act. Good soldiers who stand up will pay the price. They'll make the sacrifice. And it may even mean surrendering life. When Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death," he was not in context in Revelation 2:10 saying, "Well, you serve me as long as you live and you're good to go." What he was saying, folks, is you serve me even if it means you die for me as I died for you. That's what good soldiers do. They are willing to pay the ultimate price because the cause is just that important. Don't compromise. Don't retreat. Do not surrender. Never apologize for the truth. Do not be ashamed to own your master or proclaim his message. Romans 1, 15 through 17. As much as in me is, Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ who have signed up and suited up will stand up and never be ashamed of the Lord they love, obey, and serve. But I told you there were four of these phrases, and the last is speak up. And if you look at the text, notice how it closes. The Apostle Paul, who is the author by inspiration, continues after saying that they're to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought. And what Paul is charged to do as a soldier of Christ, to declare the word of God boldly, is what every good soldier of Jesus Christ is charged to do. If we've signed up and suited up and stand up, then we need to speak up. You see, we have a story to tell. It's the old, old story of God's love through God's Son for His creation. It's the most beautiful, wonderful, powerful story the world has ever heard, and it's true. It's the message that every man needs, and it's the role of Christian soldiers to take that message around the globe. And it begins right here in our own home, our own community, and outreach from there. Just as in the first century, to the 12 he said, be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world. This is how soldiers serve. They speak up for Jesus Christ and tell the old, old story. It's good news, and good news ought to be shared. That's exactly what the gospel means. The euangelia is good news, not to be kept to ourselves, but to be spread abroad around the world. And soldiers in the army of the Lord are challenged to be sowing the seed. You see, we have a message for the masses. Even though they do not recognize their need, it's still very real. And our role is not to convert them, but it is to attempt to teach them. We are charged to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the call of soldiers in the army of the Lord, to proclaim, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. It's a simple text, but it has a profound message. You can enlist and you can serve, but I need to just very quickly tell you, there's one warning. Once you do, don't be AWOL, absent without leave. There are folks in this community, as in every community all across this land, who knew, obeyed, and for a time served in the Lord's army, but are absent without leave now. And you know what? As a result, they will be lost because they did not continue in the service of Jesus. You need to be in that army, and you need to make sure that you stay in it, and this is what is required. Suit up. Once you've signed up, then stand up and speak up, and God will use you in a powerful way to bring souls to salvation and change lives for the better and prepare people for eternity. I think you're doing that, and I commend you for it. Pray that you always will, but if you're not, it's time to start, because the clock really is ticking, and today is all we have. So we know how to sign up. We know how to suit up. We know we should stand up, and we know we should speak up and what we should say. So the challenge is, as we leave, to do it. If we can help you be a part of this army, you'll never regret your enlistment, but you will regret forever your failure. Just make your wishes known as we stand together and sing.